A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted him, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in the name of Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord.
Become the cornerstone. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast a net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. Verbum Domini. The other evening, Father Leonard was reading off the list, or some of the list of the names of popes. We've had 266 of them, beginning with Peter. And some of them, their names have only been used once, some multiple times. There's only been one Pope Lando. He lived in the 900s, only pope for a few months, but continuing that line of succession. But there have been 12 Piuses. There have been 13 Leos, 16 Benedicts. And which is the most often name that's chosen by those elected to the papacy? It's John. We had John the 23rd. And then following him, we also had those who took two names, John and Paul. John Paul I and John Paul II. Because really the reason for the papacy is to proclaim what John proclaimed in today's gospel, from his gospel, the Gospel of John. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Pope Francis described himself as a disciple of the Lord. So that is what the papacy is about, is proclaiming that truth. And we heard in the first reading, the first pope, who also was given a new name, a new mission, Simon, who the Lord named Peter because he was going to build his church on the rock of the faith of Peter. And Peter, too, proclaims that truth. And he's saying to them that he is the cornerstone, rejected, but nonetheless a cornerstone. Of course, he's quoting the psalm that we had today, Psalm 118. We hear it often during the Easter season. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful to our eyes. And then the phrase we hear so often during this octave especially, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad, and rejoice in it. So Peter is saying he's a cornerstone, at least formally when buildings were built, that was the point of reference. That's in what the structure relied on. Everything else was built from that cornerstone. And so it is true in the church that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the one who is proclaimed. That's the reason for the papacy. It is the Lord. You know, the last homily that Pope Francis gave was on Easter Sunday. He didn't deliver it himself. Cardinal Angelo Camastri is the one who delivered it. But it was Pope Francis' homily. And in that homily on Easter Sunday, he said these words. He said, our Easter faith opens us to the encounter with the risen Lord, prepares us to welcome him into our lives. It invites us to have eyes that can see beyond, to perceive Jesus, the one who lives, as the God who reveals himself and makes himself present even today, who speaks to us, goes before us, surprises us. The beginning of today's gospel, we heard Jesus revealed himself again. And Pope Francis, some of his last words were, he continues to do so today. And in this homily, he mentions how everybody in the gospel accounts regarding the resurrection is running. So you remember Peter and John are running to the tomb. Mary Magdalene's running. And he makes the comment that we can't remain stationary, that it is for us to seek the Lord, to perceive him in others, perceive him in the daily events of our life. And he says that this Easter hope and faith that is ours, this is the greatest hope of our life. We cannot settle for the fleeting things of this world or give in to sadness, he said. We must run, filled with joy. Let us run towards Jesus. Let us rediscover the inestimable grace of being his friends. He is alive. He still wants to renew our life today. Now, Father Miguel and I were talking recently about the last three pontiffs and the significance of their deaths, their dates of their deaths. Is God saying something to us? And so Pope St. John Paul II died during the Easter octave, and we consider the octave as one great day. So it's the Easter day. Too much to be condensed in one day. It's one great eight-day octave. Pope St. John Paul II died in the octave of Easter on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday, he who proclaimed that mercy so well. Pope Benedict died in the octave of Christmas. He had a great devotion to the incarnation of our Lord. Pope Francis likewise died in the octave of Easter. His funeral will be on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. He who also proclaimed that mercy of the Lord. Is the Lord saying to us, and also to think about Mother Angelica, who helped their message to get out there through this network, that people could hear their voice, their message throughout the world, the message, it is the Lord. She died on Easter Sunday. What is the Lord saying to us? to? Is he saying something to us about the significance of these very public figures of faith? Is he not communicating to us the truth of the incarnation, that God indeed became man in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he suffered, died, he rose again from the dead? And this is our great hope, and he wants to bestow his mercy upon us, all of us. So let's be filled with hope in all of the significance of these events. That's the great proclamation. That's the reason for the papacy. It's the reason for our Christian life. It is the Lord. And as Pope Francis pointed out in his last homily, he continues to reveal himself to us. We cannot settle for the fleeting things of this world or give in to sadness. We must run, filled with joy. Let us run towards Jesus. Let us rediscover the inestimable grace of being his friends.